I guess, see people's hands being put up virtually and whatever other powers it comes along with.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. you know, Avram's a good leader. He knows how to share power. That's the ultimate real test. Not so obvious in the world of politics, but the legacy leaders, you know, are like Avram. They all know how to share. Okay. Anyways, I'm just seeing a bunch of buttons on the bottom. Just give me a second here. Do I need to do anything with share screen?
No, you don't need to share screen.
Okay. Is there some way I can show Makoros at some point if I needed to? Yeah. Oh, we'll figure it out. Okay. So for now, let's get going. How come I see some people on my top right? I see a few names, not so many. How would I see everybody?
Next to the full screen button on the top right, there's the one to the left of it, which is the gallery view. So there you could see a lot of people.
Okay, so that's the one default. Is that the one I should be on generally?
Yeah, that way you could see the most people.
Okay, hold on 1 sec. Oh, okay, very good. Okay, I see Tzvi, Seth. Okay, very good. Okay, so let's begin. I see Natan got the Silver Spring. Okay. This is like, you know, somebody said it's like an opportunity to see everybody's library also, you know, in the background. But mine's a little bit of a mess, so just don't judge me. okay, so let's begin today's shiur. Again, we're going to try to get better at this. I now have a link, so this can actually go through me. I don't know if there's any benefit to it, but Avram and I are going to try to figure that out. So we might have a different way of, signing on or the personal link or whatever it is. And I'll try to master this program a little bit more, I guess, mostly probably by doing it. But if anybody has any suggestions, you know, please let me know. I'm not sure. Tomorrow's shiur will probably not be at regular time because I have to run out and do something at that time. But normally we'll try to keep this modern. If we can do tomorrow for half an hour, 40 minutes, something on Inyane Hashkafa or whatever, or if anybody wants us to do questions and answers at some point, you know, we'll try to figure that out. But the next, I guess, Chulin Shir will be Tuesday at regular time, all things being equal. I hope everybody's feeling well, doing well. And also we're going to try to make time just to keep in touch with everybody. On a more personal level, either through phone or through, it's possible, I'm told, to use the Zoom program also for video conferencing or talking or whatever the proper terminology is. So we'll try to work with all this. And again, just to maximize the situation, you know, for your learning and for our, you know, kesher as a shiur. I'm going forward, but if there's anything I can do, if anybody needs to speak to me, or if it helps to speak to me, you know, more, if it's more pressing, just, you know, give a call or send me a note or through Avram or whatever, and I'll try to get back to you, forthwith. Okay. Okay. So let's move on. We want to talk a little more still about the Mumar things, but mostly I want to move on to Ola. For today, and probably that'll also take through Tuesday to wrap that up, and then talk about Tachlifei Issurei Hanaah. I may add a few things about some of the things we've already discussed, but there'll be Agav, and then we want to move on after that, just if you're looking forward, to Vav Amud Aleph through Zayin Amud Aleph, to talk very quickly about some of the issues of Chashud and so on. Okay, Seth, I see Seth there. Seth? You want to do the honors, just read the Gemara?
Which one?
You tell me, which one would you want to read?
Whichever Rebbe you want me to do.
Oh, wow. And yeah, everybody's giving me so much power. Okay, no, the Ola Gemara. So let's just talk about the last few words on Hey Amud Aleph and just very quickly the Gemara and Hey Amud Beis. Is that good? You have it?
Yes, I just need to open it up. 1 second, sorry.
Okay, no problem. And how do I find if somebody wants to make a comment? I just see people holding their hands, or there's like a, you indicated that there's some, that's part of the feature of the, okay, Ellie Shapiro raised hand. Excellent. Did you want to say something, Ellie? Or that was just a test?
It was just a test.
Okay. But since you raised your hand and volunteered, we'll make sure to call on you for, right? Just like Lo Yehi Chote Niskar, it goes the other way too. Right? So HaTorim Lo Yafsid. Okay. Seth, you're good?
Yes, from Hayim Aleph and Hulin.
Yeah, just the Gemara about, I mean, we discussed the Gemara about Mumer L'chol HaTorah Kula. I should add that, by the way, one of the things that we've been emphasizing in terms of Avodah Zarah, and Mumer of Avodah Zarah, we made much of the formulation here on Daf Hayim Aleph, you know, which seems to be counterintuitive, but I was suggesting is really the most accurate ever, according to a certain understanding, namely this idea that Kala Kofer B'Avodah Zarah Kimoda B'Kala Torah Kula. I should also mention that there are different girsos in our Gemara itself. Some of them really do have the opposite, like the Mechilta in Parshas Shlach. You know, the more obvious one, which is Kala Kofer, Kala Moda B'Avodah Zarah Kilo Kofer B'Kala Torah Kula. But I do think, either way, it doesn't change the picture so much. And there is a bit of a methodological, what we call lectio difficilior here, which means that usually the easier text or the text which is most obvious, you know, that's not usually a reason for to assume that it's more accurate. Often the opposite is true. Meaning typically, you know, if people are going to make a mistake, or they're going to reformulate something inaccurately, they're going to do it based on what seems, you know, more obvious. That's what it means, lectio difficilior. Sometimes the more challenging formulation, you know, is really the right one, because otherwise people wouldn't copy it. So I think that that's the issue here. Either way, it doesn't change the equation so much. But I see, for example, in the Oz V'Hadar Gemaras, that they, he has a whole, you know, discussion here. V'nusach hadfus lishna ma'alya kanakat klapi shmaya, that's, you know, dikduke sofrim, ayin lishona sifrei, you've also the one in Parshas Re'eh, and he quotes also, tells you to look at the Torah Tamima and Shalach, but just to, you know, to be clear, as we discussed, this whole issue, there are different girsos and different discussions, and there's much more to say, but the basic issues we've discussed. So go ahead, Seth. Let's move us forward to discuss Ola for a few minutes. Go ahead. Oh, 1 second. One second. Okay. I keep forgetting to my other obligation here, and that is to record. So 1 second. Yeah, go ahead.
We want me to read from the end of Hey Amud Aleph by the
the last few words. The last half line there.
From V'ha Ma'achan Afka?
Yeah.
V'ha Ma'achan Afka? V'hasim Na'afka.
Meaning we just learned what, Seth?
For the Mukher, for where we know to exclude the case of a person that's a Mumar, the Mumar. So right. We say we want to learn from that source. We have a different source that we're about to bring of Me'am Aretz as opposed to the So we continue saying Me'am Aretz, Prat Lemumar, Rishimon Ben Yossi Omer, Mishim Rishimon, Asher Lo Tasini Bishkaga, Ve'asham, Hashem Yadiyaso, Mevi Karbon Ashkaga. So, Inu Shav Midiyaso, Inu Mevi Karbon Ashkaga. So,
yep.
Ve'amina,
So this part of the Gemara, of course, is the equivalent of what we find in another Gemara that we already saw, namely, Seth?
In Horios.
Excellent. The Gemara in Horios. Thank you. And, you know, therefore the question is, why do you need the duplication? So the Gemara's answer is that if you look at the Parshios, right, Mikem velo kulchem refers to Ola, and that's in the context of Ola's Nadava, whereas, you know, this Parsha is referring to, Me'am Aretz is referring to Chatas. So then that becomes a very interesting question. Is there a difference between Ola and Chatas when it comes to the ability of the Mumar, right, to bring a Korban? And we're going to get to the Mishnah Melech, you know, because we don't want to disappoint anybody in a minute. But of course, part of the question is going to be, you know, the issue itself, namely, what is the status of Mumar in Chatas as opposed to Ola? And one of the things that we're definitely going to be interested in investigating is also going to be the question of Chazar B'tshuva. That's what happened if the, you know, the infraction, we'll call it that for the moment, took place when a person was a Mumar and subsequently he did tshuva. Right? Is there a difference in that itself between Chatas and Ola? That's not the Gemara's discussion, but in light of Tosas, right, Dibra Maschil, Eino Shav Midiaso, right, which discusses that whole problem, and in light of the massive Mishnah Melach, you know, which extends the discussion, namely, is this exclusion, you know, dependent upon the moment of the Avera or the breach or whatever it is, or does it extend even, you know, or does that koveya, or does it depend on the time of the contemplation of bringing the Korban? So Gufa, that's one of the things that's on our radar screen, right, Seth, to wonder about. Okay, so with the Gemara here is basically saying that you need separate psukim for Ola and for Chatas. Go ahead. Why?
Di asmi inan chatas mishem de kaparahu aval ola de doranhu. Ema le kabo mine. Di asmi inan ola mishem de laf chayuvahu aval chatas de chayuvahu. Ema le kabo mine. Tricha.
Okay. So this becomes a very important. Now, of course, so the Gemara makes its distinctions. Let's say it this way, Seth. The question still remains what?
Why do we need both psukim and what function do they each come for?
Right, so the Gemara identifies factors, right? Ola is a doron, so, you know, that's a reason that maybe you wouldn't bother with it. What are the two reasons? Chatos mishum de l'kapara.
I want Ola is a doron and Chatos is a chiyuv.
Yeah.
And kapara versus not for kapara.
Exactly. So we have to figure out what that is. Before we even get to that, the Gemara says tzricha. That's therefore you need two psukim. The question is, whenever you have a tzricha in the Gemara, right, the question still remains whether or not. Seth?
Whether or not there are two different things, or are they really the same idea?
Exactly. Now, do you need two psukim? Like anytime you have this is a structural point. Anytime you have a tzrichasa, it explains certainly why you need two psukim, and it leaves us always with the remaining question whether there are two different dinim l'halacha, or whether the tzrichasa just tells you that what differentiates these two categories is irrelevant or insufficient, at least. To matter in this particular halacha, in which case it's all one din, or in Achanami, there's a parallel din, it applies to both, but for the same reason you need the two psukim, we're talking about different mechayvim maybe, and therefore there's still going to be nafkamina, it may look the same, but it isn't exactly the same. And that, of course, is relevant to things like you know, the Tosas issue of the Mishnah Melech question, like, are you going to be Mechalek, for example, between Achatas and an Ola, right, when it comes to the discrepancy between his status at the time of the Avera you know, right before he wants to actually bring the Korban. If the Tzrichasa means, you know, Tzricha means, you know, but they're the same, then we still might end up making the chiluk, but then it would have to integrate more definitionally. It would have to be like a technical distinction. And if the factors that require the tzrichasa are in fact relevant, and the bigger chiddush is the fact that we still have the common din, even though the mechayvim are different, then we would expect that there would be more nafkamina, including maybe this one. Correct? Okay, excellent. So now let's zero in for a moment. I'm going to go to the Mishnah Melech just to highlight the issues in a second, and then I'm going to take a step back and look at the bigger question. Again, we did talk about this already a little bit on a Monday, right, when we were talking about towards the beginning of the year. I brought it in because I was trying to explain, you know, the Rabbeinu B'chai and Kadakemach's citation of the Ramban, so you'll see how that fits in better. We made, you know, brief allusion to it. But we'll see. We'll start with the Mishnah Melech in just a minute. But what are the two factors that the Gemara cites? As you say, Doron, right? And Ola's a Doron. And Chatas is a Kapara. And which one would be easier for a Mumar to bring? One would think.
Maybe Chatas, because it's a Chiyuv.
So that's the second point of the Gemara. The chada b'chatas v'chada ba'olo tzricha di'ash min chatas mishum de l'kaparahu. Therefore, it's ma'akev. Aval ola de doron, eim l'kabel minei. Meaning doron, as opposed to kapara, is a reason to relax the standard. Sounds like, correct? In other words, the more stakes there are, the more rigorous the korban or the need for the korban. Right, it's a kapara, so a mumar, you know, is antithetical, you know, to bringing a korban kapara. Right, that's what the Gemara is saying. On the other hand, right, the other way to look at it is v'yashmina nolam mishum delav chiyuvahu, meaning the urgency to bring this korban is less in ola, but chatas is a chiyuv. So the urgency of the korban is a reason to relax the standards. The rigorous requirements or benefit of the korban is a reason to heighten the standards. That's why the Gemara needs its rechasa, correct? But what's, of course, a little bit surprising, once you know a little bit about Ola in this Gemara, is whether or not these factors themselves completely hold up. What do I mean by that, Seth?
Whether or not Ola really is a form of Kapara, and maybe...
Excellent. Is it possible that Ola also is a form of Kapara? Is it so pashut that... And then the Gemara doesn't say that it isn't, right? But it does say about Chatas that it is, right? Chatas mishum del Kaparahu, and it contrasts it with Ola being a Doron. Does Ola being a Doron mean it's not like Kapara? Or does it mean it's a different kind of Kapara? What does that mean? And we all do know, we're going to get to each of these Makoros as we go forward, but that the Torah itself uses the expression, or seems to use the expression of Kapara with regard to Ola. Where, Seth?
In Vayikra Aleph Dalet.
Excellent. The Torah uses the expression V'nirtzalo l'chaper a love. So it sounds like there is an element of kapara, right? So what do we mean when the Gemara here is contrasting? Moreover, the Gemara here uses the expression doron. That's very important. We'll soon see the Gemara in Tzvi in another place. Tzvi sitting right next to Seth. I don't know how these things work. Whether they go in order or is it alphabetical? So it could be they're thousands of miles apart. I don't even know. But on my screen, Tzvi is sitting right next to Seth. Tzvi? Where else does the Gemara say that Ola is a Daron?
In Yoma, on Amud Bav.
Not so much there.
As versus the Kapara, yeah.
But Yoma Lamed Vav is very important. So what does it say there? We'll get to that in a minute, but what does it
discussion
say?
Discussion about what the Ola can be a Kapara for.
Exactly. I mean, what
like
Seth talked about before, which is the idea that there might be Kapara in an Ola, you know, for what? We're going to read the Gemara in a minute, but what?
Like a Chicha Upeya, or Rabbi Kiva says Ase, or Lashanita Glase.
Excellent. So I'll say Lavanita Glase. So what do we mean? Again, the Torah uses the expression of Inirta Lechaper. The Gemara in Yuma does say that you know, that there is Kapara and there's Vidui. Right? That seems not to be so Pashut when the Gemara here is saying, you know, that only Chatas has Kapara. As for the language of Daron, where does that show up? Not in Yoma, but
Not sure. No, I don't think I saw it.
Yitzchak? Yitzchak's right below you. Yitzchak Weiss?
That's the Gemara in Zvachim Daf Zayin Amud Beis.
Excellent. Right. The Gemara in Zvachim Zayin Amud Beis. In what context?
Regarding the Kavana for Anola.
Regarding the?
Having certain Kavanas for Anola.
I don't know about the Kavana so much. I mean, possibly it affects the Kavana, but more specifically, Zev? Not so much the Kavana, but even more so. The? Ezra?
The tshuva?
Say again?
Sorry, the tshuva?
Not so much the tshuva, no. Are you? Shalom? Anybody? The Gemara in Zvachim. Lior? The order, right? We will get to it in a minute, but the order of what and what? Itzi? Am I being heard or not? Tzvi? How come I'm not, is the audio not working? Hello? It is working. How come I can't hear you?
We just didn't see it.
What's that?
We just didn't see the Gemara, so we had no one speaking.
Oh, okay. We didn't see the Gemara in Zvachim yet.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay, that's fine.
Sorry.
We'll have to go, you know, we'll leave some of the stuff for Tuesday, of course. Okay, good. Anyway, the Gemara there talks about the order of Chatas and Ola. And the Gemara says that Ola is a Doron, and therefore it's preceded by a Chatas, which is a Praklit. Right? Yeah, okay. Okay, so let's get back to our Gemara, which everybody has seen. So all I'm trying to say is that when you read the Shakuntari, this Gemara, broadly speaking, there are two questions that should be on your mind. Number one is, having established the need for two psukim, we want to know lamaskana, whether the differences between Ola and Chatas that precipitated the need for two psukim, right, continue to reverberate and echo because we're dealing with two mechayvim. Secondly, in analyzing these differences themselves, this is a very important Gemara because the Gemara makes it seem as if Chatas is exclusively Mechaper and not Ola, And as we know from the psukim and from different Gemaras, including the Gemara in Yoma, right, that doesn't seem fully to be the case. At the same time, the Gemara's description of Ola as a Doron is something that does appear also in the Gemara in Zvachim, but is not such a davar pashut, especially the relationship between Ola being a Doron and being a Mechaper is something that is very complicated and that requires further analysis. Here, it sounds like there's a contrast between Ola, Doron, and Chatas, Mechaper. So we need to analyze what that means. To highlight that further, I'm just going to take care of the Mishnah Melech. Mishnah Melech comes up again in the, you know, kind of the middle of this very, very long one. What's his main point? I see Zev Lowy, but I don't see him. I just see his name. Zev, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. So what's the Mishnah Melech concerned about?
I'm not positive, but maybe what the Gemara means by Hashav Mei DSO?
Well, a little bit. Meaning it's in that context that he's discussing it.
When are we saying that the person did tshuva?
Correct. So he's bothered by, if indeed, what bothers the Mishnah Melech is, if indeed we conclude like the Balei Tosas, that when it comes to, let's say, achatas, right, that even if you did tshuva afterwards, how did Eitan Hain move from one part of the screen to the other? Okay, Tani and Eitan Hain just both moved. How do people move? I'm just curious.
I'm a wizard.
What?
I'm just a wizard.
A wizard. Yeah. Somebody asked me last night, is there a difference between a wizard and a warlock? Okay, anyways, okay, but if a few people have moved around. Interesting. Okay. So the question is, if you hold like the Balei Tosas, that Mumar, right, is Ma'akev, you know, even if he did tshuva subsequently. So what troubles the Mishnah Melech is, Eitan, since you are a wizard, what troubles the Mishnah Melech?
It seems to be that they're trying to figure out exactly at what point in the process can you do tshuva and still be able to bring the carbon.
Yeah, that's what we just said. I'm saying, so what bothers him about our Gemara?
We have the two psukim, and we're trying to figure out which psukim we should use to understand this issue we have.
No, not so much that, but meaning if you hold like Balei Tosas, he's assuming that the Balei Tosas idea cannot apply to an Ola. That's the assumption. I'm just going to read the line, unless somebody else has it to read. Anybody have the... you could raise your hand, right? What do you have to do? Do you have to hit a button to raise your hand? No? Oh, Hoodie. Was that raising your hand, or you wanted to win the lottery? Okay, who has the language of the Mishnah Melech open? Hoodie, you have it? Hey, Zev, go ahead.
Okay.
Yeah.
Vihine din ze. Yeah. Vihine din ze huva bigamara become a dilze.
It's in the Dibra Masa of Adad the Besug of the Bechulin. Right.
Okay. Yeah. Ach Mashikasu, right there, no?
Correct. So the Ein Safek Dechim Miet Cross Meshumad Dafka Ba'Oda Meshumad.
Let's see.
Oh, so what do you think about that? Well, this is because he named Brisa Zub Olas Nadava Mishtai earlier. The Kodim came in a behema Maisi Olas Nadava.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what I should say.
Yeah, it was a Pashid Mavur of Sigi Sigamara. Yeah.
In Suffolk, the Chimiat Cross, a Meshumad is Dafka Beona Meshumad. The Loi Tachin Lomar, the Bishvil Shinishtamid, the Shuvla Yakabal Menu Carbon Leolam.
Right.
So what do you think about that question? Now, he's basically asking that the equivalent of what we're discussing in Chatas shouldn't exist in Ola, because Chatas is a very pointed korban, right? And therefore, but Ola being a broader chiyuv, right? So what are you going to say? He was a mumar when he was involved in whatever violation, and he's never going to bring a korban for the rest of his life.
Right, that's the question.
That's his question, correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's a question which is based on an assumption, maybe a very fair assumption, but an assumption, namely
that he has a right to be able to have tshuva at a certain point.
True, but also that this korban ola is totally not targeted. Correct? Meaning, let's say a person violated and he has to bring a chatas and he can't bring the chatas, but he can bring another korban the rest of his life. But the problem is, let's say he was in violation, let's say he violated a particular mitzvah saseh. He abstained from a mitzvah saseh. Right? So now he's supposed to bring an ola for that.
Right.
So we're saying, when he did that, he was a mumar. But that doesn't mean he can't bring an ola going forward. Maybe right. He can't bring the ola that is targeted. So what I'm saying is I think it's a fair, very fair question, likely to be a correct question. But one which needs comment, namely, it's based on the idea that the Ola has a broader chalos, which probably is true. But the question is, how does that square, right, with the perspective that an Ola is mechaper in specific things? That's really the big issue in this entire topic. Okay, keep going just for a minute. Ulfize yesh tein litmoa.
Right.
So that's really his question. Namely, how this Gemara implies that we're equating. But if you hold like the Balei Tosfos, there's no equation because there's a huge discrepancy. Correct?
Yeah.
Now, the way to answer that question objectively is either to say that it's just wrong, meaning if a particular Ola is targeted, or if you want to target it for the Ola. I mean, let me say it this way. There's no question that on some level, the Ola is a broader korban than the Chatas. And the assumption that, you know, you'll never ever bring another korban because when you violated the mitzvah, say you were mumar, you'll never bring a korban for the rest of your life. That certainly seems to be unacceptable. The gap between, Zev, is what? Is whether or not the Ola that you can bring will ever be effective for the assay or the lavanitha classe or whatever it is, or the hirhur avera that you did when you were a mumar. Maybe I can say that, you know, that is not subject to kapara, and therefore that the korban that you will bring in the future after you do tshuva will never relate to that. Right? In the same way that the chatas, you know, so in other words, then I'm basically saying that they're not suggesting that Ola is exactly like chatas. I'm admitting that it's not a targeted korban in the same exact way, but that doesn't mean that it's koach l'ratzos or l'chaper, if that exists. That part of it doesn't parallel Ola. Right? So that would be one response. Then I might even be able to say, again, the Mishnah Melech does not like this at all. He assumes that what I'm saying now is totally wrong. I personally think it's not a bad thing to say, according to some understandings of Ola. Right? The alternative also to answer the question would be to say that, again, even if I wanted to stay within challenging the assumption, namely, let's assume for the moment you get that it's true that an Ola does have a part to play in specific averos, right? And yet, let's assume, according to the Mishnah Melech, that you cannot inhibit the Ola going forward because it is a broader korban, and maybe you can't even inhibit it vis-a-vis, you know, the effect on this particular, on neutralizing this particular infraction. Okay? So then the question is, but then how do you read the Gemara? Because the Gemara is talking about why do you need the two psukim? They're resolving it with a trichasa, implying it's the same din. They're not the same din at all. So what would you say to that? A second answer. I've given my first answer already. And this I would say, the second answer I would say, according to all positions, actually. Meaning, in Achanami, there is a discrepancy, and there is this nafkamina. Let's say there's no echo whatsoever of this added chumrah that even after you do tshuva, but maybe that still has nothing to do with the Gemara and the Trichasa. Because in the end of the day, the reason for this particular discrepancy is technical due to the scope and the Mechayev of Ola being slightly different than Chatas, or being very different than Chatas, depending on your point of view. Right, there's still a question whether or not there's still a question whether a mumar, you know, is mufka, right, from the kapara that is connected to the aveira that he did as a mumar. The reason that going forward after you did tshuva there's a nafkamina has nothing to do with that. It just has to do with the fact that every korbanola has a broader scope, but it's still the same din. It's not the same scope of application, but it's the same character or quality of din, just given the different dynamic. Everybody with me? Yeah. Okay. So that he himself kind of struggles with that. Go ahead, just read a little more, Zev, if you don't mind.
Okay.
Ubishlomo kafima shetzidadnu
la'el. Right, bedas rabbeinu. Afilu gabechatas kol she'asa tshuva mekablim menu nicha. Dehikshu b'gemara delamali kra lomar de'ein mekablim korban be'odah mumar. Ach kfisvaras atosos kasha.
Meaning, if you don't think that tshuva, you know, is still ineffective, so then the equation between Ola and Chatas only has to do, but in both cases, it only has to do with bringing a korban while you're a mumar. And then there's no discrepancy. But according to Bali Tosis, it's a problem. So he says, V'af shalomar.
The sphere alay, listama de Talmuda, de kevan de alfina mikra, de olas nedava, de beoda mumar, e mikabli menu korban. Mehasam nami alfinan dechatas enumevi afshechazer b'tshuva. Even Divisha Shechata Haya Mumar, Vosa Shah, Lo Hai Lo Chiyu Korban, Daha Emikabli Menu, Shuv, Lo Asi Lide Chiyu Klau. Vidavka Gabe Olas Nidava, Yishlachalik, Bain Asa Chuva, Lo Asa, Mishim De Lo Balo Achiyu Beoda Mumar.
Oh, so what do you think of that? That's basically along the lines of my second suggestion. It's one variation of my second suggestion to answer the Mishnah Malos question. Because the first suggestion was that vis-a-vis the kapara or the ritsui that Ola actually brings in Ochanami, there still remains an equation, possibly, there still remains an equation between the two. As we go forward and we talk more about, you know, Ola's kapara itself being slightly different, I'm going to suggest, you know, that maybe you don't even need to say that. But that was my first suggestion. My second suggestion is that the technical differences between Ola and Chatas that are agreed upon, which also have to do with the scope of Ola versus Chatas, which is undeniable difference, as well as what the Mishul Melech is suggesting, which is what? The level of Chovas HaGavra, right? That's an Ola you could always bring as a Nadava. A Chatas is never an Adava, either as an Asham. It's always a Chiyuv. And therefore the Zman, what the Mishnah Lelech is saying is, the Zman Chiyuv is Koveya, whether or not there's a Chalos Chatas. That's not true about an Ola. And therefore Mumar, Bizman HaChet, when it comes to Chatas, is Ma'akev, even if you did Tshuva, because you did tshuva afterwards, but the koveya for the mechayiv is b'shas ma'isa. Now, again, there's a chiddush in the Mishnah Lamelech, and that in this point, this ha'ara, which is why you didn't say it earlier, and that is that mumar is not only a problem in the kiyum havas ha'korban, or in the koch kapara of the korban, but when you're a mumar, there's not even a chiyuv korban. But what he's suggesting is that's not true by Ola, because Ola doesn't have the same kind of chiyuv status to begin with. Okay, but the Mishnah Melech is trying to answer the question even within his own worldview, and that is that you know, the technical differences between Ola and Chatas will account for this discrepancy. Okay.
Yeah.
Again, he's still troubled by it for another reason. If you skip a little more, Zev.
Yeah.
Rabbi, can I just ask a question on that?
Yeah, sure.
It sounds like when the Mishnah Lamelech says all this, the reason that there's no chiyav is lines deha ein mekabel imenu, meaning that the reason that there's no chiyav is because we wouldn't accept it. Right. Meaning, is that saying, like, I just didn't really understand that line. Is
there you no think it's circular?
Well, circular or not even necessarily circular, but sounds like the fact that, like, we won't bring it as a korban when he brings it means that there's no chiyuv. I mean, similar to the point you were saying a second ago, but it sounds like it's all based on the fact that in mekabel imenu, not that there's no chiyuv whatsoever. I mean, the chiyuv doesn't exist because we don't accept it.
No, because I think what he's saying is that, I mean, this is the irony. When you have a meshumad who does an avera, right, so all things being equal, you would have thought that there's more of a reason, just like one of the Lashonos and the Trichas of the Gemara. I mean, the urgency to allow the Korban or to see the Chiyuv Korban is greater because he's even more of an Avarya. He doesn't have Eir B'shogig, but he's even amazed. So his need for Kapara is not less, it's more. And I think what the Mishnah Melech is just trying to explain is, but since he's not in a state where we could be makabel echatas bishogeg from him because he's amazed and a mumar, right? So that's what makes him mufka from this particular korban. Now, as he's trying to explain that conundrum, which is that, like, again, if you just look on a regular hierarchical scale of, like, you know, who needs kapara more, shogeg or amazed? We'll get to this in a second when we talk about the Ramban and the Rash. But if you just talk about the scale of who needs kapara more, you know, you would think for whom is it more urgent? And that's kind of one line in the Gemara. Then he would be more. But the problem is he needs it more, but ain mekablin mimenu, you know, particularly because this isn't that kind of a kapara. And therefore the ain mekablin, the chiddush of the Mishnah Melech is not just a technicality, but it makes him mufka from the chiyuv. And since chatas works by chiyuv, whereas ola can be a nedava, therefore, what the Mishnah Melech is saying is the critical moment in terms of the hagdara of mumar always depends on the maisa avera. Whereas an ola, you know, your status can change from the maisa avera, you know, to the zman havasa karban, because since it isn't a chiyuv and it's not triggered in the same way by the maisa avera, right? Therefore, there's greater flexibility. Again, probably all of that, meaning I was laboring hard a little bit before to maintain the equation and still to distinguish between Ola and Chatas, and to say that you bring an Ola, you're chayv to bring an Ola for an Asay or Lavanita Kase or Huhuri Aveira, etc. And nonetheless, there are distinctions. But in the end of the day, probably if there really is a different mode or method of Kapara, as we'll discuss, that probably either way gives you flexibility to make these distinctions. But either way, I just think it's fascinating that the Mishnah Melech, again, once again, is kind of raising the issues in the way that he's asking and answering the questions. Okay, Aryeh? It's amazing. You guys are moving around, even as we... Aryeh was on the left, now he's on the right. Okay, did we answer the question? Aryeh?
Yeah, thank you.
Okay. And be persistent if not. But, you know, apparently there's some button here that I can push that I can mute everybody. But I haven't figured out how to do it yet. So until I figure out how to do it, everybody should just jump in. Okay. Go ahead, Zev. You're doing a great job.
Okay.
There he is. Oh, now he's on the right. Yeah. No, the two Zevs are together now. Amazing. You know, we should figure out how to configure this like the actual where everybody sits in the shiur room. It would probably be a computer breakthrough too, of major proportions. I don't know whether it'd be like being a wizard, but yeah, go ahead, Zev. Achakati kasha.
Achakati kasha. Kaven dekra de olas endava lo mairi ella beoda mumer lamali kra. Typically, it is Zev Hashem toeva. Ukmoshehu hatosvos ala de brisa de chatas.
Should maybe carbon the kapara, al masha chata. Go ahead.
Where is that?
Just keep going.
Halisa shari midibre Rashi b'tzrichus hagemara muchach.
No. One second. Did you read the chitema de zevach rishayim lo shayich elagab bechatas should maybe carbon the kapara? So once I stop there for 1 second. So what do you think about that? Oh, I see Raziel there. Okay. What do you think? What's he suggesting?
I think I might have a different words here.
You have a different what? Mishnah Melech?
Or maybe I'm in a different place.
Oh. Okay. Ellie? Goldberg? What's he suggesting now? Before he was attacking, I'm just trying to show that the Mishnah Melech, whether you like what he says or not, it's tremendous food for thought, because he's really zeroing in on discrepancies. His questions and his solutions are all based on assumptions, on perspectives regarding the relationship of Chatzis and Ola. So now he's doing another one. Before it was, you know, being a mumar b'shas hamaisa, you know, what impact does that have even la'achar tshuva? And if there is a discrepancy, is assuming there's a discrepancy, is it a technicality or is it something more fundamental? If so, how do you explain it? And he's throwing out one thing and we were throwing out one or two additional things. Now he's zeroing in another problem. He's saying, listen, good. Let's assume you explain the Shaklavatari of the Gemara, But what do you do with Tosis's question? Namely, Tosis asked the question. Ellie, where'd you go?
Yeah, I'm here.
Tosis asked the question that what?
That the Zevar Chasham should also apply here.
You don't need Mikam and you don't need Ma'am Aretz. You just need Zevar Chasham Toeva.
Yeah.
Right? And that led Tosis to conclude what? That really there are two dinim. One, you can't bring a korban if you didn't yet do tshuva. That's Zevar Chasham Toeva. And then there's another din, Mikam and Ma'am Aretz, because unlike the Mishnah Mel's reading of the Rambam, right? The Balitosis certainly hold that, you know, being mufka as a mumar, b'shas maisa, even if he did tshuva, that's more than zevach rishon toiva, correct?
Yeah.
But now he's saying, but in Ola, if you assume that Ola is only dependent upon doing tshuva, right?
Yeah, then he says...
Then what do you need the second din at all? So it should be pure zevach rishon toiva.
Yeah.
Unless you think that zevach rishon toiva itself doesn't apply to an Ola. Then you need the Mikam and the Me'am Aretz, etc. Correct?
Mm-hmm.
Ellie?
Yeah.
You agree?
Agreed.
Good explanation. Okay. So what do you make of this comment of the Mishnah Lamelech that maybe Zevar Chasham Toeva will apply only to Chatas?
So he seems to be stressing the Doron aspect of Ola by saying that Zevach Rishaim is not going to apply at all.
Excellent, exactly. I mean, Zevach Rishaim Toeva isn't going to be a problem because Ola is not that kind of a korban. So again, it's once again, the Mishnah Melech is assuming, right, that Ola is fundamentally different than Chatas. And what we're going to try to show is that A, maybe not, or maybe that isn't so poshut, and even if it is different, maybe it's not quite as different, or it's somewhere in between. Okay, he himself says this is not a viable option. Halesa, go ahead. Who's reading, Zev?
Okay, Halesa.
Okay, so that's number one. That's equally good for us.
Right.
Right? How so? I mean, we care about the discrepancy in a way more than the direction.
Okay. Yeah, so we're saying.
So basically he's throwing out two ideas here. Right? The common denominator being Ola and Chatas are different regarding Zevach Rishon Toeva. Right, but more obvious in Chatas or more obvious, right, in Ola?
By Ola.
Right. So now he's saying Ola. Moreover, according to the Gemara in Chelek, but it's not only the Gemara in Chelek, it's also the Gemara in Yoma. Probably the Gemara says that, you know, if you do a mitzvah say and then you, it sounds like anyway, the Gemara quotes Zevach Rishon Toeva, right?
Yeah.
Either way, he's quoting Gemara in Chelek, the Suda Perek Chelek.
Kamar Rabbi Yochanan, the time at Amrina de Kidshe Mizbeach Yamusu, Umishum de Zevach Hashem Toeva. Bahasam, the Cholkach Mizbeach Mairi, Kigon Shlamin Veolos, Shehim Doron.
Even though they're Doron, they're still the clouds of Zevach Hashem Toeva.
Yeah, Ubechatas Pshita Dolo Mairi, the Tamalomar, the Have Chataso, Shemesu Bale, the Lamisa Azla.
Okay, so you have these are two discussions in the Mishnah Lamelech, one about the discrepancy regarding tshuva, the other regarding the discrepancy regarding Zevach Rishayim Toeva, both of which are very suggestive regarding the general relationship between Ola and Chatas. Then if you go to the next paragraph, maybe we'll hear from Tzvi again. Tzvi? The next paragraph, he has another one final, you know, suggestion. Vidash and Masha Kasafti, do you have that, Tzvi?
Yeah, one sec.
So basically he's talking, in the beginning he's talking about the Rajba. The Rajba who thinks that what, Tzvi?
He's talking about the Rajba who thinks that, who brings up the possibility that the kind of third mention of Mumar in the Brisa that was on Hulin Hammond Aleph could potentially be talking about Mumar Laoto Davar.
Right. And he ends up saying that Mumar Laoto Davar is actually Mumar Laoto Davar is actually implicit from Mumar Laoto
Tarkula. Yes.
That's the famous Rashba, which we discussed extensively. Very, very important. Right. So then he doesn't like part of it in the continuation. He says, if you could pick up Vidasha Kushya Sarajba. It's in the middle of this. I have the Frankel in front of me.
Yeah.
But it's the first column of page, 140. Duber Maskel Vida, but Vida in the middle. For anybody who has that text. Go ahead.
Vidasha Kushya Sarajba, Halazu, Lo Yacholti Lahoma. This one?
Yeah, that's
exactly.
So what's he saying?
So he's saying that, saying like an oto davar kind of mumar only makes sense for a chatas. Because a chatas, you're bringing it specifically on one chait that you violated. But Ola, he's again referring to it as this broad korban, where you wouldn't be able to pin it to any.
So there is no Otsa Davar, correct?
Yeah, yeah.
So that, again, that's a crucial comment. That's a very important comment. Okay, keep going. Zabol Achet, right? Lo Shaya Chaluko Selu, Ubraisizu Ba'ola Mayri.
Ba'ola Mayri. The ha cried the Ola Kadarish, because Mikam is the pasuk that's talking about Ola.
Yeah.
Ita b'Gemara v'ulai samacharav al ota sugya the perik gimel the yoma daf lamed above the muchach mina the Ola nami ba al chet. B'chein katz rabbeinu b'sof perik gimel mehelchom ma'aseh harkabanot v'chilev v'dam lav dafka el dugma ba'al matnaktinu b'tzarchiyim.
Yeah. So what do you make of that end, Tzvi?
So then he says that possibly we could say that Ola comes for specific actions, like we see in Yoma, where it's talking about for Ase or for like a Jechlevapea. And if that's true, then you might be able to have a case where you have the Oto Dover idea.
Yeah. So this is finally getting in the end of the piece because of this question. Interesting that, we said the other day that the Mishnah Melech really liked this Rajba, right? And that his whole orientation really, fit with the Rajba's understanding of the whole, broader topic. So it's interesting, that this is finally, to answer this, finally brought him back to the notion, of the Gemara in Yuma, as opposed to the Gemara here in Chulin and Zvachim. Maybe we shouldn't emphasize the Doron part so much. Maybe we should be focusing on the common denominator, on the fact that Ola really is Miratza or Mechaper, on Essen. So that's an interesting, then there is a Mumalosa Davar. Ah, once that's true, do you want to go back and say, that maybe Legabe that you're not going to get Kapara even after the fact? Maybe not. With regard to what do you get, is that going to affect how you look at Zebra Kushoim Taiva? Is that going to affect, the suggestion that chatas, even the chalos chiyuv korban, depends on his mumrius at the time, but not ola? Or are there still going to be discrepancies? So I'm comfortable, obviously, with the idea that even, in other words, you don't want to say pure doron necessarily, and you don't want to say, pure equivalent. The chatas. I mean, we're going to try to basically. You already see in this Mishnah Melech that there are basically three. I think three, broadly speaking, ways to formulate the relationship between an ola and a chatas, or the nature of korban ola and its ritzui. And the Mishnah Melech is just, highlighting it, in this whole issue. And our Gemara becomes one of the Gemaras in Shas that is very important to this, both the language of the Gemara, the Maskana of the Gemara, as well as the issues that the Mishnah Melech touches upon. So I think that the three basic perspectives that emerge from here, and we're going to analyze them more fully now as we go forward, is whether to see one extreme is to see Ola as parallel as possible to Chatas or to Chatas and Asham. We'll talk about Asham a little bit also. And that with regard to this question, namely emphasizing the Gemara in Yoma and Lamed Vav Amud Aleph, emphasizing the word in the Pasuk, we'll discuss the Pesukim in a minute, the Nirtza, and especially Lechaper. Now, there still might be differences between the two, because clearly it is still a broader Korban, still it's not, you know, a Chiyuv in the same way. That might still explain discrepancies, you know, like the ones we were talking about, and maybe even more. Certainly that would explain to the Shakavitarya in our Gemara, you know, because either our Gemara is Shalo Aliba, this perspective, or when the Gemara says Ze Bala Kapara, or Ze Chiyuv, you know, and Ze Rak Doron, if you want to work this into that perspective, then you would have to say that the technical differences still account for both the Shaklavatarya and maybe even other things, maybe even the Maskana. But the orientation would be mostly that we look at an Ola vis-a-vis Essen, Lavanitak, Hirhurim, etc., much default, let's say, in the same way that we look at Chatas when it comes to, you know, Lav Shieshbo Kares, or Asham. We'll get the Asham issue in just a couple of minutes, you know, which also seems to parallel that. That's one perspective. The opposite perspective is the perspective which basically would say, which I think what the Mishnah Melech was starting with, not where he ended, the perspective that would say that Ola is fundamentally different than Chatas, and that in essence it's not a korban which relates to Averos, or even the neglect of Averos. It's not Mechaper, it's not Meratze in that sense. Again, you'll have to explain what the Torah means when it says Vinir Tzelechaper Alav, and you'll have to explain what the Gemara Numa means. Either you're going to assume, with regard to the Psukim, you have to explain it no matter what. That's the Rabbonu Shalom. With regard to the Gemara in Yoma and some other Gemaras, you might say that it's a Machlokes, right? It doesn't have to be a single view in Shas about the nature of Ola. Maybe some Gemaras think that it is, you know, more comparable to Chatas. And other Gemaras think that it's really a Doron. And maybe Doron is the code word for explaining that it is totally, you know, not like a Chatas. So I guess the second way to explain our Gemara, the first way being, you know, really the discrepancy between Ola and Chatas is less than you would think, but there still remain technical ones which need to be overcome and still might reverberate. That's the first way. The second way, the other extreme, is to say that Ola has very little to do with Kapara, and that's what the Gemara is telling us when it calls it a Doron, when it calls Chatas a Mechaper, and it really is just, you know, a Matana, the Rabbonu Shalom. It's like, we'll compare it more to, let's say, Shlamim than to Chatas. It seems pretty clear that Shlamim has very little to do with Chet, right? You bring a Korban Shlamim, you know, in, you know, for positive reasons, Hoda'ah, you know, Simcha, et cetera. No one thinks that Shlamim is related to some sort of Maisa Avera or some sort of Kapara or Ritzui. So that would be the second perspective. And that's certainly an easy way to learn our Gemara. And that would certainly be the initial, you know, thrust of the Mishnah Melech. In between those two perspectives, and also possibly helping you to resolve, you know, the mixed signals, meaning the dialectic, the fact that, you know, some Gemaras make it seem like it's a parallel and others make it seem like it's a fundamental discrepancy, would be the idea that either, I think there are two ways to say this, either there are two aspects of Ola, or that there's a kiyum of Ritzui in Ola, even though it isn't part part of the chiyuv. In other words, an ola is not ba l'chaper. And that affects a lot of things. It's basically, you know, on a chovas agavra level, a nadava and a doron. But there's also a kiyum ritsui, or maybe the result of bringing the ola is that it is meratzeh. Again, those two are a little bit different from each other. You could say 3a and 3b, but mostly they're very similar. Again, that would explain, you know, it's in between status. But what I'd like to suggest, overlapping with that or separate from it, is to go one step further. And that is what we mentioned earlier in the year. And that is that even to the extent that Ola is Miratza and Machaper, right, it does so in a different way, that the modality or the mechanism is different. And that is that when it comes to Chatos, the trigger is a Maisa Veira, a specific Maisa Veira, and the need for Kapara, the need to neutralize the effect of that action. It's very action-oriented, and the Korban reflects that. Whereas when it comes to Ola, right, the focus is on the Gavra, on being a Ritsui Hashem. I'm taking that line, you know, from the Ramban's Perush Al HaTorah, which we'll get to in a couple of minutes, this idea of being, you know, basically you've tarnished or you have undercut, you know, the relationship between yourself and the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's the most important relationship in your life. And your obligation is to neutralize that. But it's less than, and especially more than, sorry about that. I put my my cell phone on airplane mode, but I can't do that for the house phone. The Ola in that respect is both less than triggered by and responding to my Savera, but in my opinion, more importantly, much more so than a Chatas, about the relationship of the Gavra to Avodas Hashem. Okay, everybody with me? Everybody can hear? Okay, good. So what I'd like to do is step back from our sugya, which is very suggestive, and from the Mishnah L'Melech, which I think was amazing, and now start to discuss. We don't have more than a couple of minutes. Let me just make the introduction, just in terms of Torah Shebichsav, very briefly, and then we'll pick up with the Rashi and the Ramban and the Gemara and Yom and the rest of the Marmakomos, which we'll try to finish, if possible, on Tuesday. So Thursday, hopefully, we can do Tachlifei Isuri Ano, which I'll give you Marmakomos for. Again, whoever wasn't here earlier, our regular time for Monday Hashkafa, which is 2 o'clock, is probably not going to work tomorrow because I have something important to take care of. Maybe we'll try to get, is it possible to get together a little earlier, maybe? I just have to check the schedule. I know you probably have college already starting, right? Tomorrow? Ellie's nodding. Okay. Can we do maybe sometime in the morning, maybe half an hour Hashkafa? Whoever can? That makes sense? Yeah? Okay. So I'll be in touch with Abraham for the exact time. We'll do something maybe on the Parsha. I don't know if we can do, if it makes sense to do occupations just yet, but something short, just so we can stay in touch. And also by tomorrow, we'll try to figure out also a better mechanism to be in touch generally for conversations and so on, so we can maximize contact, you know, during this, you know, rather unusual period. Okay, so let me start with
can I just make
just the psukim for a minute. What's that?
Can I make a quick ha'ara on the last point Rabbi said?
Please.
Yeah.
I was going to say, you've been very quiet.
Yeah. It's very interesting that the Gemara chooses to refute Rav Hanan with the limud from Ola, and then asks as a question from the Gemara and Horios about Chata. And at the end of the day, it seems like the makar about Ola is more directly related to the reputation of Rav Hanan. that makes a lot of sense as if we're saying like Rebbe, that when it comes to Ola, it has to do much more with this broader orientation, then the fact that a Momer L'chol HaTorah Kula exists there is much more of a challenge on something like Shita, as opposed to the fact that Momer L'chol HaTorah exists by Chassas might be more specific, might be Aveira oriented.
Excellent. I really like it a lot. Everybody heard that? Right? So Natan's basically suggesting that the Gemara quotes the Ola Makar in refuting or discussing Rav Hanan, right? Am I saying it right? Because the whole idea of Rav Hanan, you know, of refuting Rav Hanan, and the idea that, you know, a particular Maisa Avera can end up being a Momer L'chol HaTorah Kula, right, is about the Gavra distinct from the Maisa Avera. So Gufa, you know, that is a good reason, you know, to start with Ola and then to wonder about Chatas after the fact. And of course, it should be understood that in light of what this suggestion, which I believe in strongly for some of the Rishonim, particularly for the Rambam, but I think it just explains a lot of things and it explains the mixed evidence very effectively. So even some of the things that we were just discussing in the Mishnah Melech, you know, like, can there be a Mumar L'davar, L'oso Davar regarding Ola, becomes a really interesting question. Or, you know, what we were discussing earlier, like, can you say that there's Kaparas Ola, you know, but not for the Avera for which you were a Mumar, right? The answer is maybe, because we're maintaining the parallel to Chata somewhat, but maybe not, because the whole idea is that the Ola is never neutralizing a particular Chet. It's that the Chet or the lost opportunity of the Mitzvah Saseh or the Mitzvah Saseh, you know, Lavanita Kala, so we'll talk about all those things, it reveals or reflects a flaw in you know, in the Gavra Oved Hashem, you know, which needs you know, to be addressed. So even as we emphasize, according to this view, and obviously one of the things I'm going to say is that, you know, the Torah does use the expression v'nirtza l'chaper, but it's first v'nirtza and then it's l'chaper. And that's one of the differences between ritsui and kapara. Kapara has a connotation of being more directly about and neutralizing, you know, particular ma'isa averus. But ritsui, you know, has a broader connotation of, you know, being merutza to the Rabbanu Shalom, being ritsui Hashem. So I think that's a very good ha'ara about, you know, the connection to Rabbanu. So thank you for that. Just 1 second, make sure this isn't an emergency. Oh, okay. Other people can take care of it. Okay, good. So let's talk about one thing also. Do we have another couple of minutes? Just I think our minute is that we go a little bit beyond 1 o'clock, right? And since we started fashionably late, which is also, you know, 1:45 our minhag. By the way, I have, I don't know, is Moshe there? Moshe Blank, is he there? Oh, okay. But if he isn't there, just tell him that I appreciate his good work even more than usual.
He's there.
I'm not seeing him, but he's there somewhere. Okay.
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, it sounds like Eitan Hain wants to say something.
Yeah, I just had two quick comments.
Sure.
Number one, could it be that you can be medayek in the word Ola? That I know that all korbanos obviously go up to Kodesh Baruch Hu, but Ola, when we're talking about Ola, the fact that it goes straight up to Hashem, the word itself has this sort of like this relationship between you and God. So that could be interesting.
And of course, certainly the Khalil, you know, lemizbeach, and the fact that it's the kulal Hashem, something that I mentioned last time, like, you know, and that it's the ubiquitous and the default, you know, carbon. I think all these things, you know, and again, at the, you know, the diuk that you have right in the beginning of Vayikra, which I think is true, you know, im ola carbono, you know, behema, you know, almost like you don't have to say, like, it's Torah's Kohanim, we're introducing carbonos. So you would expect, you know, there's even if it's the first, so there's Ola, there's Chatas, there's Asham, there's Shlamim, etc. So, you know, say if you're bringing an Ola and where you're bringing it from. But it's almost like default, like the if is, if it's the behema that you're bringing as the Ola, like you don't even need to say that the first one we're going to discuss is the Ola. So I think it being the language of Ola, Ola Lashem, Kalil Limizbeach, the fact that it's the Tmidim and it's Alel Hashlein, the things I spoke about last time. I'll say more. I think one of the things I wanted you to look at in the Mar Makomos was, the famous discussion of, the Hashkafic Toelis of Karbanos, right? So the Ramban in his Perush Al HaTorah, very critical, as we know, of the Rambam's interpretation in Mor Nevuchim. But the alternative that he suggests, which is about, a korban is like, hakravas atzmo symbolically and stuff like that, et cetera, it's just very fascinating that it's all about the Ola. I mean, what the Ramban describes as like, representation or, the exemplar of korban is really, without saying so, is Ola. And that's not a coincidence. So I think all these things are connected, and they all have to do with this idea, of Ola being about, the Gavra and his relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Dafka being a Doron. I mean, that's the secret. I mean, there's no secret here. But one of the things we're trying to show is, again, well, for some Rishonim and for some Achronim, being a Doron and being Meratza, or being a Doron and being a parallel to Chatas or Stira, what I'm going to suggest, even in the Gemara in Zvachim and our Gemara here in Chulin, is that it doesn't have to mean that at all. But it's Mechaper B'Torah's Doron, which means that it works differently, but that doesn't mean it isn't Ritzui. It doesn't mean it's not an important Ritzui. It might be a more important Ritzui from a certain perspective. So I agree with that. You had a second comment, right? Eitan?
You answered it. That's good. Covered it all.
A little magic of my own, right?
Exactly. It's rubbing off on you.
I appreciate it. That's me talmida, That's what it really means. Okay. So let me just talk about the psukim for a minute. One second. I'm in a place where, an undisclosed, secure place. But, we do have some svarim here. So that's good. I just wanted, and with this we'll stop for today, and then we'll try to get something going for tomorrow. So just we'll figure out the time for Ashkafa, and then we'll continue with this on Tuesday. But if you can go through the Mar Makomos, because I really don't, I love this topic, but I think it's really important. There's so much more you could talk about, but I do want to move on to the other. I don't want to keep a pace in our shiurim in the way it's a little more important, even.
Right. Can I ask a question?
Sure.
So I was just wondering, when we look at the Ola as being mechaper in a sense relating to the broader relationship with Hashem rather than with the particular avera,
Maisavera.
So is there going to be the same kind? We're supposed to think about that as accomplishing the same kind of rectification of whatever went wrong, or is it less? Is it supposed to be, I guess, less? Less particular, given that, or less effective, given that you're not actually addressing the specific Maisa Avera.
That's a great question. That's kind of what I was saying before. I hate to give a complex answer, but I think the answer is it's both less and more.
Okay.
Meaning it is less, and that's kind of what I was saying about some of the Mishnah Melech points. Meaning it's less in the sense that it doesn't neutralize the act per se. On the other hand, what we have to understand is that the actions that trigger the requirement of Ola, or the actions that are addressed by the Ola, albeit in a different way, are less acute and less specific to begin with. In other words, it's not a coincidence. Let's take for a moment, what triggers the, let's assume for a moment that this perspective is correct. And this is a re-ritsui. But it's a ritzui that works in a different way, right, Akiva?
Yeah.
Akiva? Yeah. So then you might ask yourself the question, like what transgressions trigger the Ola, right, as opposed to Chatos. Now it gets a little more complicated when you say, and I'll talk about this next time, when you say not only Chatos, but Asham. So I think Asham stands somewhere in between. But the bigger point is that for Chatos, it's something that clearly qualifies as an acute Maisa Avera, in that it's a lav, right, which Shiyeshbo Kares, usually Malkus, Bezadon, which you did Bishkaga. The fact that it's so Chamor, Bezadon, right, already establishes it as a very problematic Maisa Avera, such that even you did it Bishogeg, Shogeg is not Masasek, you did the Maisa, and as a Maisa Avera, you have to account for that. Now, again, does that affect your relationship with the Rabbanu Shimon? Of course, but even separate from that, right, you have this huge, you know, blight on your record that you've got to, it's very specific and you've got to neutralize it. But if we're talking about Ola, Akiva?
Yeah.
What triggers an Ola?
Your desire, you know, your own initiative.
Or your lack of initiative. What triggers an Ola?
Maybe I'm misunderstanding. You decide to bring in Ola?
Oh, okay. Number one, as we see from our Gemara and from the Mishnah Melech and so on, right, it's not a chiyuv gomor in the same sense. But even if that were not to be the case, what I mean is which infractions, what level of infraction does an Ola relate to? And that's your factual question. Gemara Yuma.
Oh, okay. I have a meaning to go see the Gemara Yuma.
Okay. Or Rashi and the Sifra and the Ramban Alatari. You see that?
Yes, I don't have it in front of me now.
Okay, but I'm saying in general. Is it a lav? Is it an assay? Is it Ish Bakaris?
It's going to be a bitl assay.
Exactly. Meaning, this is the question I'm trying to ask you. I'm not trying to catch you. I'm trying to elicit from you. In other words, you didn't do the mitzvah of sukkah.
Right.
Or lulav. Or whatever. Would you call that a, how would you characterize that? That's a Maisa Avera?
Not in the same sense. That
Number one, it's Besheval, typically it's Besheval Tasa.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's what you didn't do, not what you did. A Maisa Avera usually requires a Maisa. That's why, you know, Lav Sheba Maisa Ein Lokin Olav, meaning doing a Maisa matters, for Maisa Avera is a very important aspect. It sounds like, or this is the question, but partially. See, this is a topic which is not only about Ola, it's about Avodas Hashem, and it's also about understanding the categories better. That's why it's such a fascinating window, right? So Mitzvah Saseh, the neglect of a Mitzvah Saseh is just a passive Avera? Or is the neglect of a Mitzvah Saseh just that, a lost opportunity? Right?
Right.
That's an important question. Now, there might be, I see Moshe there. Okay. I'm going to take a drink in his honor. Okay. What about, now again, we've discussed many times, you know, even this year and certainly other years, the idea that, you know, the typical boundaries. I see Zev's drinking. That's good. Biyote with him. The typical boundaries of Kumbase and Sheval Tase are sometimes misleading because the expectation and the opportunity and the urgency to do certain essen or certain actions make their avoidance, make their neglect, right, more than an omission, but sometimes an act of commission, right? That's why even very recently, when we were talking about mumar, can a mitzvah saseh, right, generate mumar, right? And the question that we discussed, for example, about Arel, like what about a mitzvah saseh shesh bakares? Korban Pesach and Mila, are even Mila and Korban Pesach the same? I like to be medayik in the Rambam, that even Mila and Korban Pesach might not exactly be the same. We're getting Sloshim Yom B'Fnei HaChag, right? So we could talk about this. So, you know, in terms of being a mumar, that really matters a lot. Hard to say you're a mumar because you didn't capitalize on spiritual opportunity. But if you, in principle, reject the mitzvah saseh, or if you have the opportunity, right, and you inherently or you know, expressly, you know, avoid it, you know, at what point does that become, you know, an action of avoidance, a refraining, you know, as opposed to a not doing? Very subtle differences. Right? This is a big issue in all of halacha. You know, Yesh Koch Yad Chacham Milakar Dovin Otaru Kumvaseh Shaval Taisa. You know, the Gemara in that's a Gemara in Yivamos, the Gemara in Brachos about Daf Yutes about you know, Kavod Abrios. You know, difference between, again, like we discussed, the difference between Essen and Lavin or Kumvaseh Shaval Taisa. The point I'm trying to make in response to Akiva's Ha'ara is that if we're trying to assess whether or not an Ola is a maratza or even a mechaper comparable to chatos in any way, or if the differences are more subtle, we can't do that if we ignore what it is that triggers an Ola as opposed to what it triggers a chatos. So when it comes to chatos, it's clear that it's the ma'isa veira, because it's a veira chamur, it's a kumvaseh. It's something which b'mezid would trigger kares, skila, malchus, etc. But if we're talking about an ola and it's an asay, so here you have two opposite ways to look at it. One way to look at it, or three. One way to look at it is you're not bringing an ola for any aveira because there's no aveira. There's just the absence of doing an asay. Or to say that, you know, if you could and don't, right, then it's, you know, you're being mevatel a mitzvah saseh, not e kiyum haaseh.
Normally, this was what Tos said. I'm going to go to whole people and see if they have on this side.
What's that? Somebody say something? What? That's the only thing you think of. I'm not hearing.
Well, this happens, this fails. This senses the heat, and it tells the there's something wrong with the show.
I'm not hearing. Oh, is somebody saying something in the shiur or not?
Sorry about this, but the more I read about this, the more...
Well, that's background noise. The background noise? Okay, I can ignore it. Okay, so for example, an interesting question would be the question of lav hanita glase, lav shem b'maisa, lav shem b'kolos. We'll talk about them all. But you get the idea, Akiva? Meaning, what I'm saying is, the things that don't have malchus, they're a lot closer than the neglect. If we said asay sheish bakares, that would be one place to draw the line, but we don't. If we say general asay, that seems like that seems like very expansive. If we say lavanita klase, that sounds much closer to lavan. So what I'm trying to suggest is, getting to Akiva's question, which is the effect of Ritsui on what it is that the Ola addresses comparable, right? Does it neutralize as much or in the same way what Chatas does? The answer is probably no. Probably it works differently. But does it work better or more effectively or less effectively? The answer is that those terms don't really quite catch it, in the sense that, you know, vis-a-vis the Maisa Veira, it's less effective. That's one of the things we're trying to suggest, according to this middle view. According to the view that it neutralizes it in the same way, then it would be very similar. But what I'm saying is, the Asay doesn't need to be neutralized as a Maisa Veira in the same way, and therefore the fact that it triggers a failing or reflects a failing or a flaw, which you then address more holistically, begavra, through an ola, right, is a more effective and a more ambitious way of resolving the problem, given that reality. But that goes to the question, for example, I'll give you one more. I mean, we'll talk more about it, but Hirhure Aveira. When the Yerushalmi or Chazal in the Medrash add Hirhure Aveira to the mix, what do they mean by that? Do they mean to say that Hirhure Aveira require Kapara or Ritsui? Or is that their way of saying that this has nothing to do with Ritsui and Kapara? This depends exactly on what we're talking about. The more we need to simulate what you have in Chatas, even though it's, you know, B'Sheval Tasa in some cases, etc., right? The more inconsistent would Hirhure be, or Hirhure might be a different category. The more we think this is about the Gavra, Hirhurim, in some respect, are actually worse. That's how we got into this topic a little bit in the beginning of the year, when we were talking about the Ramban and the Karakemach citation of the Ramban, which is worse, right? Hirhure Aveira or Aveira, based on that, Gemara and Yuma, etc. Okay? So the answer is really, it's a bit of both. Okay, I think we'll have to stop here. Yeah, anybody who has questions, who wants to ask for a few minutes, I'm going to remain on. But for those who, since it's a little bit late, so we'll end the shiur here. What I want to pick up with next time, just to make it perfectly clear, I want to look at the psukim in the beginning of Vayikra, which I didn't give you to look at, but just if you look, Perek Gimel, Perek Dalet, just how the Torah presents, how the Torah presents Chatas, Asham, Ola, just in the psukim. Then I want to zero in on the discussion of Rashi, the Sifra, the Ramban al Torah, the Rash on the Sifra, on those questions, meaning Mitzvah Saseh, Hirhurim, Lav Shanit, the Gemara Numa, and then I want to go through some of the evidence in Zvachim and some of the issues that are connected with this to see other Nafkamina. Okay? So that's the end of today's share. We'll try to find a good time. It'll have to be, I'm guessing, a little earlier. I just have to see tomorrow for a little bit of a short Hashkafa share. And we'll try to make, you know, some progress on the medium. And anybody who wants to stay on to ask questions or to, oh, now I'm seeing Moshe in person. There's a lot of Sfarim behind him, I might add. Are you in the base medrash? No. Okay. Anyways, so have a good day, everybody, and we'll keep in touch. Kol tov. Anybody wants to stay on task questions, feel free.